20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome, welcome, welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope your Friday is treating you well and you are all set for an epic weekend. Make sure to hit that subscribe button if you have a chance. That helps the channel a ton. Thank you for that in advance. We've got a fun one for you today. We're going to be going over Brian Gutekunst and the job that he has done as Packers general manager up until this point. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Before we do so, just wanted to give you guys a huge thank you. All the kind words about the new backdrop and setup and studio and everything like that. There's one thing in your mind to have an idea for it. It's another to try to get it to come to fruition and, you know, come out the way that you wanted it to. Then it's another to go on camera and be like, oh God, please let them like it. Please make it that it's not, you know, like you thought it was cool and everyone else thought it sucked or like just any of that. You never know. You never quite know. So the overwhelming, incredible response has been really, really cool. So glad you guys like it. I love it. And I think it's going to make for a really cool studio for the foreseeable future, which again, I thank you for the kind words for all of you who reached out both on social media and here on YouTube as well. Got the Brewers sweatshirt rocking today. Hope you guys all enjoyed opening day. It's no football, it's no Packers, but it's great to have baseball back. Brewers off to a 1-0 start. Hopefully your team, if it's the Cubs, maybe not so much, but hopefully your team's off to a great start. And hopefully the Brewers can get off to that 3-0 start by the end of the weekend. No NFL news, no Packers news, which should allow us to jump right into our main topic, which, as I mentioned, is Brian Gutekunst. Now, Brian Gutekunst, of course, signed an extension along with Russ Ball and Matt LaFleur this offseason. His job never seemed really in jeopardy. It always felt like he was going to be back, but the Packers went and did give him that extension. I would assume it's a lucrative extension. I'm assuming that it's going to lock him up here in Green Bay for the semi-foreseeable future. And I would expect him to see that through unless something catastrophic happens or this team just completely disintegrates and falls apart, which we're all hoping does not take place. And I'll just add on top of that too, if he could find himself a Super Bowl here in the next couple of years, that's going to cement his legacy and will push him out basically to be a GM for the long term and not just for the contract that he's on right now. But the Packers did re-sign Brian Gutekunst. And what we're going to look at today is a little bit of everything. This is going to be a pretty extensive deep dive into his drafts, his free agency, his trades, his overall roster building, what he's done, transitioning from Love to Rodgers, or Rodgers to Love, I should say, all of it. We're going to take a deep dive into everything and try to evaluate Brian Gutekunst as a GM. Is he a good GM? Is he a bad GM? Is he somewhere in between? We'll break it all down today. Let's get started and jump into it right away. First off, what I want to begin with talking about is an article that Pete Doherty recently wrote over on PackersNews.com. Pete's the best. If you're not reading Pete, you're doing things wrong. Make sure you're reading Pete. Get a Packers News subscription and support all the beat guys over there that help me do my job better and everyone covering the Packers do their job better. But Pete had an article, and the idea of the article was that Brian Gutekunst has done a poor job at finding true difference makers, the stars, if you will, the all pros and the Pro Bowlers. That's been a defined issue, but I thought Pete did a really great job of sort of bringing it all together and really kind of showing it. The first thing he pointed out is that between 2018 and 2025, so since Goody has been GM, they are one of only five teams to not have a player that the team has drafted that has been a first-team All-Pro. One of only five teams from 2018 to 2025, not an insignificant period of time, that has not drafted a first-team All-Pro. They also are 28th out of 32 teams in that time frame in Pro Bowl honorees that were drafted. So Keyshawn Nixon, his Pro Bowl does not count there, right? Because he was a free agent signee. Actual drafted players who made the Pro Bowl, they are 28th in that time frame with only five. In addition, Pete pointed out that Goody's first four drafts only produced four legitimate second contracts. Those four are Jaire Alexander, who I might mention is no longer with the team, Rashawn Gary, who I might mention is no longer with the team, Elgton Jenkins, I might mention, is no longer with the team, and Jordan Love, who thankfully is still with the team. So in his first four drafts, he did not do a great job in having the longevity with players, having big second contracts, or just finding those players that are even still with the team today. In fact, only Jordan Love. Now, the good news, the very good news for Brian Gutekunst, and as Pete pointed out as well, is that the Packers are 82-49-2 since Goody took over. That's a very good record. And you might just say, well, they were already good. And that, well, in 2017, they were 7-9. Now, that was the Rodgers injured season that had a lot of Brett Hundley. All right. So there's a reason for that. But they were 7-9 that season. And then in Goody's first year, in which he really inherited Ted's team, he went out and got Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson and a couple players here. He obviously drafted Jair Alexander, which was very, very good. But in that following year, with still basically Ted's team in 2018, they were 6-9-1. So if you take that 6-9-1 away from Goody, he is 76-40-1 since 2019. Say again, that's a very good record to have as general manager. You're almost, if you would start the season 4-0 this year, he would be 80-40-1. So basically double the amount of wins of losses, basically 66.7% winning percentage, right? As an incredible job as a GM. Is some of that because he got to take over Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely. And not only Aaron Rodgers, but David Bakhtiari, Corey Linsley, Davante Adams, Kenny Clark, Aaron Jones. He took over some pretty prominent players from Ted Thompson. No question about it whatsoever. But either way, he still continued a team that has been successful, made multiple playoffs, etc. And again, 76-40-1 since 2019. It also should be noted here that while Goody has not had that all-pro luck, it's not crazy to think that Jordan Love could be a first or second. First might be pushing it, but like a second team all-pro, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Tucker Kraft, I would argue, is trending towards being a first or second team all-pro at tight end. He was trending towards being one of the best tight ends in the league last year before he got hurt. Assuming he can play the way that he played before the injury, after the injury, he should be able to continue that, and it wouldn't shock me if he was an all-pro. Zach Tom is probably more in that Pro Bowl fringe than he is the all-pro sort of category. I don't think he's quite in that. He's certainly not in that first team all-pro. It wouldn't stun me if he would ever get to a second team all-pro, but I think he's probably more on that Pro Bowl level. And then even guys like Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, to me, they are in the trajectory slash possibility of hitting that all-pro level play as well. Cooper needs to take a jump. Evan Williams just needs to keep doing what he's doing so he gets recognized. Probably needs to get some more turnovers just so people get eyes on him a little bit more. But those are really good football players. So yes, he has not had those all pros, but he's got some really good players that at least it's feasible that they could enter that all pro conversation sometime in the next few years or so. It also should be noted that GMing is not just about drafting. And what I want to give credit to Brian Gutekunst for first is just by taking a new approach. For some reason, I still see people that label Goody like he is Ted Thompson and say, you know, never makes the big moves, or like, you just can't say that. They've had multiple huge free agency classes. Anytime he has had money to spend, he has spent it. He has borrowed from the future and used void years to be able to allow him to do so. He has traded two first round picks in Kenny Clark for Micah Parsons. He has done all of this stuff. He has traded up in the first round. There are multiple things that he has done. He drafted a wide receiver in the first round last year, which everyone was excited about. This is not a GM that's sitting on his hands and saying, well, you know, we'll let Ladarius Gunter be the starting corner. Or he doesn't. He aggressively goes after free agents, trades, etc. And that is just true, whether it's worked or not the way that you've wanted it to. You may differ on that. But you can't say that this is a GM that just, is draft and develop and stubborn and stuck in his ways. He has gone out of his way to spend big in free agency, find big time free agents, and trade for Micah Parsons. That's a big difference from what, Ted Thompson did and how Ted Thompson operated. And as mentioned, this is more than just draft and develop. Goody has found guys like Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, Micah Parsons, Adrian Amos, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. He's had some big hits in the trade and free agent categories. He's also had some misses. Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, Jimmy Graham, etc. So there's a lot of good. There's some bad. And I want to break that down a little bit further. Let's look at some good stuff, though. This is the first thing that I noticed, one of the reasons that I had the idea for this sort of topic today. Steve Patton from Patton Analytics did a big breakdown of draft values, and what he says, or like how he labels it, I should say, is approximate value over expectations for draft picks. And he did 2022 through 2025. And what he did is he put together an analytic that showed what you should be able to draft based on your draft positioning. And then he evaluated it as to whether or not they did better or worse based on their draft position. And the top five teams in that group, number one, the LA Rams, which you would probably say, yeah, they've done a great job of drafting, especially given how many first round picks they've traded away. Number two is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number three is the Buffalo Bills. Four is your Green Bay Packers at plus 76.5. And five is the Seattle Seahawks coming off their Super Bowl win. Those are your top five. Bottom five, if you're curious, were the Titans, Browns, Cardinals, Panthers, and Vikings. Like, this pretty much checks out, right? But per Stephen Patton, I should say, again, at Patton Analytics, the Packers were the fourth best team since 2022 in drafting and getting, expectations for draft picks, or value for draft picks over expectations is probably the best way to say it. So you can, again, check that out over at Patton, P-A-T-T-O-N, Analytics on social media. And I think actually he just tagged Pro Football Reference, but I think he got a lot of the numbers from Pro Football Reference, which is where you get that value from. So that was the first one. Showed that Goody, since 2022, has been fourth best at drafting. It's always tough to put it together because not all, like when you're comparing the Packers to another team and drafting, right? Not all draft classes are created equally. Some teams have more draft capital. Some teams have less draft capital. Some teams are constantly picking first. Some teams are constantly picking towards the back end of the draft. So you have to kind of weigh that out. And I think this does a really good job of saying, here's what, based on the draft picks that you had, here's the value you should have received. And here's how you did. Was it better or worse? And the Packers, again, were fourth overall since 2022 at drafting above expectations. Then we've got Football Stats Guy, which you can find on social media at Stick to the Model. And he graded every NFL team's draft performance over the last 6 years. And he did hit rate, bust rate, star rate, and a metric he called draft value added, measuring for how much value a team actually gets relative to where they pick. So again, relative to the draft picks that they actually have. His worst teams were once again Tennessee and Minnesota. And this is again 6 years, not just since 2022. His best teams were Green Bay, Kansas City, Seattle, Buffalo, and the Rams. So a very similar conclusion to the other analytic. Green Bay came in fourth in this with a B-plus overall grade. The highest was Buffalo at first with a B-plus overall grade. And so, yeah, he did a huge analytical breakdown of value, again, based on hit rate, start rate, bust rate, and draft value added, and came to the conclusion that Green Bay was one of the best teams at drafting. And again, this is going all the way back to, I think this is 2018 or 2019. So 6 years, what? 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. I don't know. So 2020, 2020, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. So 2020 is what his goes back to. We'll be right back. Either way, two specific analytics that show that Brian Gutekunst, against his peers, given the draft capital that he has been given, has drafted above expectations in the top five in both of those different analytics that were put together. So that's a good sign. Let's go over those draft picks year by year. And this is always a difficult measure as well. Again, because all draft classes are created differently and are not created equally. And B, because we always have this vision, right, of like, oh, the draft picks are just going to turn out. And it doesn't work that way. Go team by team since 2018 and look at all the draft classes and you'll be shocked at just how many misses there are. 2018 for Brian Gutekunst, a mixed bag. The deal he did to trade down and then trade back up and get Jaire Alexander and pick up a future first round pick in the process. He had to give up a third, if I remember correctly, but to maneuver that and get an extra first round pick in 2019 while still drafting Jaire Alexander, arguably still one of the biggest moments of brilliance that Brian Gutekunst has done to this day. And that was like one of the first moves that he ever did. Josh Jackson was a miss in round two, as was Oren Burks, Jamon Moore, Cole Madison, J.K. Scott, James Looney, Hunter Bradley, Kendall Donerson. You did have two wide receivers in MBS and Equanimeous St. Brown. St. Brown had a cup of coffee, really nothing to write home about there either. MBS was a good pick. MBS is a good pick in the fifth round. Jaire was a stroke of brilliance in the first round, especially picking up that extra first round pick. And everything else was pretty much terrible. So that's his first draft. 2019, Rashawn Gary. I know there's the Brian Burns and the Montez Sweat conversations and things like that. I will just say, Goody deserves credit for this pick. Prior to the ACL, he was trending towards one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And you can't predict that, right? And even after right when he came back from the ACL, he still looked good. And then he just hit a wall and never looked the same. And so to me, that's not on Goody. He drafted a really good player. He was trending in the right direction. And then that ACL really sort of put a stop to things, unfortunately. But Gary, I still think was a good pick, even though it's not who I wanted. I didn't like it. I was glad they moved on from him, etc. I still think you give Goody a pretty solid grade for drafting Rashawn Gary at that spot. Savage was a miss. He looked good his first year. There were promising signs, and then he just never developed. Jenkins was a huge hit. Sternberger miss, Kiki miss, Kadar Hallman miss, Dexter Williams miss. Ty Summers for a seventh round pick gave you some special teams value, backup linebacker. That's fine. But really, this was pretty good pick in Gary, a great pick in Jenkins, a not so great pick in Darnell Savage, and then a brutal third round pick in Jay Sternberger, and the rest of the draft really did not give you anything of substance. 2020, the extremely controversial but now very popular trade to get Jordan Love. They trade up in the draft. It creates Pandora's box with the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. Fans are upset. There's T. Higgins out there. There's Michael Pittman out there. Why are you drafting a quarterback? Why are you trading up to get a quarterback? That's worked out pretty damn well. The rest of that draft, though, very nightmare fest. A.J. Dillon. Couple years of Dillon were pretty good. The efficiency numbers were good. It just, you know, by the time you got to year four, you're like, I think I'm done with the A.J. Dillon experience. And he had the injuries and he just hasn't picked up anywhere else. I would say still overall for a second round pick, not the value you're looking for. Josiah DeGuara, brutal third round pick. Kamal Martin, brutal fifth round pick. As were Jake Hansen, Simon Stepaniak, Vernon Scott, and Jonathan Garvin. A good pick overall in the sixth round for John Runyon Jr., who gave you a couple good years of starting before moving on to the New York Giants. But that is the Jordan Love and a little bit of John Runyon Jr. draft, and you really got nothing else from it whatsoever. Then you get to 2021, a absolutely nightmare fuel, you know, nightmare inducing draft class that's just brutal all the way around. Eric Stokes in round one didn't work out. Worked out well last year for the Raiders, but not in Green Bay. Josh Myers, brutal pick. Not to mention Creed Humphrey is on the board. Amari Rodgers, brutal pick, and you traded up for him. Royce Newman, brutal pick. TJ Slayton, good pick in round five. He's no longer with the team. Shamar John Charles didn't work out. Cole Van Lannen actually might be one of the more disappointing aspects of this one. He is now a pretty darn good offensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Goody was probably good to get. I think he got a sixth or seventh round pick when he traded him away. Like he got pretty decent value considering he just wasn't ready to play yet. But he's gone on to a really nice career in Jacksonville. Maybe one he'd like to have back, but it was tough to tell at the time. Isaiah McDuffie's been a fine sixth round pick. Kylan Hill did not work out in the seventh. Green Bay, as of right now, from the 2021 draft, only has Isaiah McDuffie left. That's it. Nobody else left on the team. 2022, this is an interesting one to look back at now after this offseason. Quay Walker is now a Raider. Never lived up to expectations as the you know, their first, you know, number 22 overall pick in that draft. Devontae Wyatt, very interesting up and down career so far. A lot of talent, hasn't quite lived up to that talent. I would say probably a miss in the first round, but still a very good player for them. That's a very difficult one to parse out. If you wanted to argue good pick, I would understand it. I would say what he's given Green Bay so far, probably not worth the value, but it's close. He's a really good player. I'm glad he's on the team. Christian Watson, great pick in round two, but he hasn't stayed healthy. Sean Ryan, good pick in round three. He's back with the team, starting center. Romeo Doubs, fantastic pick in round four, but he's now a New England Patriot. Zach Tom, unbelievable pick in round four. He's going to be here for the long haul. And Igbari, really good pick in round five, but he is now a New York Jet. Tre Carpenter didn't work out. Jonathan Ford actually still with the team after a variety of moves here and there. Rashid Walker, now a Panther, but a fantastic pick in the seventh round. And Samori Toure had a cup of coffee. Still in the league last year in the practice squads and things like that. But overall, this is a really interesting one. On the team still, Wyatt, Watson, Ryan, Zach Tom, Jonathan Ford. So you still have some stuff to show for it. But yeah, this is a tremendous draft though, overall. You have a starting linebacker, starting defensive tackle, starting receiver, starting offensive lineman, starting receiver, really good starting tackle. And Igbari has started, or at least is a, you know, probably really good number three defensive end who just got a $10 million one-year deal. And starting tackle in Rashid Walker, that's eight starters. That's eight starting caliber players from one draft. That's pretty darn good, whatever way you want to look at it. 2023 is another really interesting one. LVN, certainly not living up to pick 13. Christian Gonzalez is there. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is there. That's a tough one right now. Luke Musgrave, rough in round two. I think they had the ability to draft Brian Branch amongst a couple other players too. I can't remember if there was a trade up, trade down there situation, but either way, I think they had the ability to get Branch, but Musgrave has not turned out. Jayden Reed, pretty darn good for a second round pick. Tucker Kraft, phenomenal for a third round pick. Colby Wooden finally started to break out a little bit last year. They just traded him, of course, for Zaire Franklin. Clifford did not work out. Wicks was a good fifth round pick. Brooks is a great sixth round pick. Anders Carlson did not work out. Carrington Valentine, tremendous seventh round pick. And then Lou Nichols, Anthony Johnson, and Grant Dubose in the seventh round did nothing for Green Bay. Good draft overall, but maybe a, you know, LVN, Musgrave, a couple things you'd maybe like to have back. 2024, Jordan Morgan, going to be their starting left tackle for better or worse, good or bad, we'll see. But he's going to be their starting left tackle. Edrian Cooper, really good starting linebacker. Javon Bullard, really good starting slot player. Marshawn Lloyd, please get healthy. Please get healthy. We incomplete at this point, but a miss due to the injury situations. Tyron Hopper, not great in the third. We'll see if he can still bring something to Green Bay. Still on the roster, of course. Evan Williams, unbelievable trade up in the fourth round to get a fantastic safety at that spot. Jacob Monk, Kitano Adapo, Travis Glover, still TBD. Just depth pieces as of right now. They'll have to fight for their roster spots this year. Michael Pratt immediately got released and did not work out. Same thing basically with Kalen King. And then, of course, 2025, Matthew Golden, really talented, but a ways to go to justify the first round pick. I think he can get there. I'm excited for him, but he's going to have to prove it. Anthony Belton, starting right guard, work to do, a lot of technique work to do. Savion Williams, interesting sort of flyer lottery ticket in the third round. Baron Sorrell, I think we're excited about as a rotational defensive end. We'll see what Colin Oliver and Warren Brinson can bring this year. Micah Robinson is now a Titan. John Williams will make his debut this year. Incomplete overall for 2025. Still a long way to go. Tough to judge it at this point in time. So some hits, some misses, and still, to Pete Doherty's point, not the high-end all-pro talent that you would ideally like to see at this point in time, but some really, really good players with a draft class in there in 2021 that was just a complete and utter failure, no matter what way you want to look at it. Free agency. 2018, Brian Gutekunst's first year as a GM. He signs Jimmy Graham, Mo Wilkerson, and Tremon Williams. Bringing back Tremon was a good move. Mo got hurt right away, and we just will never know if he would have been a good pickup or not. Jimmy Graham was distinctively not, and specifically not, a good pickup. Like, that was bad. I think we were all excited for Jimmy Graham. Mercedes Lewis should be on this list, too. Lewis is an interesting one because he was a bad pickup at first because McCarthy refused to use him. But once LaFleur got here and they kept Lewis, he was a really good blocking tight end for them. So solid pickup there. But Jimmy Graham was a miss. They also kept him a year too long. Could have got out of it earlier. I think he stayed for 2 years. Should have cut him after year one based on his performance. Was terrible as a blocker. Did not give him the red zone threat. Had nothing left after the catch. Just didn't work out. 2019, of course, was that huge free agency class. A hit all the way around with Za'Darius Preston, Adrian Amos, and Billy Turner. Some risk involved in that, and they got a lot of reward out of it. 2020, he no longer had any money to spend because of a big 2019. Of course, you had COVID hitting as well. Christian Kirksey is a value free agent signing. He was okay. Rick Wagner was a really impressive value free agent signing. Devin Funchess opted out and then got cut the following year. 2021, he found Devondre Campbell for pennies, and he became a first-team All-Pro. The rest of the Devondre Campbell career in Green Bay, we don't need to talk about as much, but that first year was phenomenal. 2022, Jaron Reed was a solid rotational piece along the defensive line. Keyshawn Nixon ended up giving them a ton of value for a one-year vet minimum, no signing bonus signing. And Sammy Watkins, of course, did not turn out as a value sort of free agent signing. In 2023, again, had no money to spend. Brought in Matt Orzech, found the long snapper of his dreams. And then Jonathan Owens had a cup of coffee with the team. Tarvarius Moore did not work out at safety. 2024, two big hits with both Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. In 2025, a lot of misses with Nate Hobbs, Isaiah Simmons, Mecole Hardman, and Aaron Banks. Banks, the only one remaining on the team. Hopefully he can have a really nice year this year and bounce back and give that 2025 class a little bit of a boost because right now it's not great. And then, of course, this year, picking up Javon Hargrave, Benjamin St. Juste, and Sky Moore, TBD on what type of effect they'll have on the team. It's not just draft. It's not just free agency. It's also trades. Goody has done a pretty freaking stellar job with trades. First one, Demaryius Randall for DeShone Kizer and pick swaps. Here's the thing. Randall sucked. Kizer sucked. That broke even. But Green Bay was the one that actually moved up with the pick swaps. I don't think they actually did much with it, but I would still say a slight win for Green Bay. They then gave up a late round pick swap for Randall Cobb. That is just in Aaron Rodgers' tax. In order to get him back, they had to trade for Randall Cobb. The most blatant I think I've ever seen a GM was Goody, who was clearly not happy about picking up Randall Cobb and went basically as far to say, like, he was asked, would you have done this if it weren't for Aaron Rodgers? He's just like, no. He's like, no, it's pretty clear. Randall's here because Aaron's here. And he made no bones about it. He didn't want to make that deal. He was sort of forced into it. It didn't really matter. Cobb played well for the most part that year when given the opportunity, and the draft pick swap was absolutely nothing. We'll be right back. Traded away Davante Adams for a first and second round pick. Adams had a lot left to give. He was a phenomenal wide receiver, but he just wanted out. So to get a first and second round pick for a player that you weren't going to be able to hang on to, I thought was a great, great value. He trades Aaron Rodgers for a first, a second, a pick swap, and then a second that could have turned into a first, but unfortunately, because he got hurt, it was only a second. I thought he outdueled the Jets there big time, getting more draft capital than he ever should have got based on the situation. So I thought Goody did really well there. He picked up a third round pick for Rasul Douglas in a fifth. Unfortunately, that just ended up being Tyron Hopper, and Douglas had a good rest of the year with Buffalo, and Green Bay got on a run. Maybe a bit too early, but at the time, without the benefit of hindsight, I thought it was 100% the right deal. Just again, didn't use the pick the way you would have liked, but picking up a third rounder was pretty good value for Green Bay there. They got a seventh round pick somehow for Preston Smith. Then the Steelers barely played him after making that trade. It was a very odd situation, but Goody getting anything for Preston at that point in time was great. They then took a seventh round pick and traded it for Malik Willis. Unbelievable deal. Of course, you've got the Micah Parsons trade. Unbelievable deal. They get a fourth round pick for Rashawn Gary. Unbelievable deal. And then the Wooden for Franklin one. Yeah, whatever. But it's not a huge loss one way or the other. Not one that moves the needle in a crazy way, no matter what happens with that trade. Overall, though, trading, he has been phenomenal. The other thing I want to look at is just the current state of the roster. You look at this team, to me, there's a ton of talent. Guys they picked up in free agency and trades via the draft. There is Jordan Love, Zach Tom, right? Christian Watson, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, Micah Parsons, Devontae Wyatt, Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney. Like, we can go on and on. There is a ton of talent on this team. And Goody's done a really nice job of finding different avenues to find that talent. If you look at the roster right now, as I mentioned, it's good, but you do have holes. I don't love the current offensive line assembled, and I think they have a lot of work to do to get to the level that they need to get to if this team wants to compete at the highest of levels. Interior defensive line, still a question mark, and corner is still a pretty good question mark. So you have these teams sometimes with Goody where the overall team looks amazing, but there'll be a spot that you look at and are just like, is that really what you're like? Corner is that way for me right now. You really just going to go in at outside corner with St. Juste and Valentine and Nixon? Is that really what you want to do? I think it's going to be that way. See, sometimes it feels like he has a blind spot to certain positions. My overall thoughts on Goody is there's some really good and there's some not so good. We've said for a while, and I'll continue to reiterate, he has to do better with first round picks, especially as of late. And maybe Jordan Morgan will be who they want him to be, and Matthew Golden will be who they want him to be. And it's, you know, that's a great start. Of course, they don't have a first round pick this year or next year, so it's a moot point right now. But Jair was great. Gary was a good pick for what they gave him up until the injury. And getting Jordan as a franchise quarterback is massive. So there's been some hits there, but not consistently enough and not at the highest of levels. Then he had an absolutely brutal 2021 draft. He said multiple extremely valuable day three picks, which helps offset some of the first round misses. It's probably not the all pro and pro bowls that you would hope for from the players that you do draft. He's got to find better ways to get high end talent via the draft. That's going to be huge for him moving forward. He deserves a ton of credit for finding the franchise quarterback in Jordan Love and a ton of credit for making that Aaron Rodgers transition into a new quarterback and making it a team that has made the playoffs 3 years straight since going to Jordan Love and moving away from Aaron Rodgers. In free agency, he's had big hits, but 2025 was a major miss with Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs, and Jimmy Graham was a big miss initially, but everything in between was pretty freaking awesome. Trades, he's done extremely well, and how I would overall evaluate it is that he's done a good job with four sort of flaws. Number one, as we talked about, have to do better on first round picks. Number two, 2022 draft was brutal. Can't have a miss in an entire class like that again. Number three, 2025 free agency left a lot to be desired. And number four, he does seem to have a blind spot to certain positions on the roster. Corner seems to be maybe that spot right now, maybe nose tackle as well. Overall, I have no issue with Green Bay giving Goody that extension. I think he's done a good job overall. You can look at some of those metrics and say, yeah, he's actually drafted above expectation. And that's a huge sign. And we talked about trades being great. Free agency mostly hits a lot more hits than misses, which is not always the case in free agency. So I give Goody a very passing grade. I don't think it's an A, but it's probably like a B plus for Goody since his time in Green Bay. And he still has a very, very strong team that does have the ability to go out with a couple things hopefully going their way in the secondary and at defensive line. That happens. This team has the ability to once again, well, I shouldn't say once again, but hopefully again, compete for a Super Bowl. And I do think it's a very sound roster. That's what I got for you guys today. Let me know what you think. Has Goody done a good job? What grade would you give him? I got a B+. B+ for Goody since he took over. Did you say A, C, D, F? Where are you at? I got a B+ on him. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winklesinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack, Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch, Zillertson, Large Charles, Jake Koner, Will Glass, Imperium Collectibles, and Carlo Delgado. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.